Wilka and myself, Stevens. We're dealing with resolution number 16 that came out of the task force, and we have before us a new version. Tim, would you explain to us, and maybe to just discuss this, could we have a motion to have this before us just for discussion? Senator Olson?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, I move that we adopt
version 10 for discussion purposes.
Committee substitute for committee concurrent resolution number 16/K.
Just for discussion purposes. Thank you. Any objection to that? Okay, Tim, what do we have here in this version?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, my name is Tim Lampkin, staff Senator Stevens. You should have before you version K. If you don't, I have extra copies here. I'll go through the changes carefully. This is a result of the notes taken from the previous hearings to address all of the concerns or as much as we can based on prior hearings. On page 1, line 11, the dates of 1983 to 85 and 1999 were added to more accurately reflect the historical analyses that were taking place. On line 16, we've shifted the timeline of this entire project to approximately 8 months into the future. So this, rather than being set up now, it would be postponed until the start of the session next year. So it would be established on January 20th, 2009. Page 2, line 1, we've included the to specify that we're talking about relative cost differentials. We've added the word relative cost differentials. And then from lines 4 to 7, we've changed the composition of the commission itself. Rather than there being 10 legislators and one appointment by the governor, we've shifted that then to be 3 members from the Senate, 3 from the House, and 5 appointed by the governor. Down to lines 12, there was a reference to if you were appointed to this commission and then were no longer a legislator, that you could still serve on the commission. Because we've shifted this 8 months in the future, and it basically the life of this thing occurs for about a 2-year period, which is essentially a House term, we've removed the language we've removed it such that you have to be a current legislator. Lines 13, we've added that the model may include consideration of socioeconomic and geographical components rather than shall include it. It becomes optional. Again, I remind the committee that the reference to socioeconomic geography is a field of study, and it was referenced in the Moore versus Alaska case in terms of at-risk students. So that was a component that seemed to be worthy of including in the resolution, at least as an option to consider. And on that note, we did strike reference to cultural. Line 16, we changed legislative and budget audit committee to specifically the division of legislative audit. Lines 20, we included, rather than a preliminary report and draft legislation to include the district cost factors, we just specified that it be a draft model, not the report itself. That would then be due on before April 21st of 2010. Again, we're shifting everything about 8 months forward. Lines 22, we've rather than a public comment period of 120 days, we scaled that back to 60 days. And that would make the final report due before August 1st of 2010. Part of the legislative package on line 27, to give it some teeth, we suggested that the legislation must include a repeal of the existing district cost factor index to be effective the end of the following legislative session. And meanwhile, the proposed legislation would replace that district cost factor index with a new one. And then finally, on page 3, line 1, it would terminate the commission on July 31st. Essentially, the day it issues its final report, it would dissolve since its work is done. It can go away. And that concludes the changes to the CF.
Thank you, Tim. Questions, Tim, on this CF? Concerns?
Mr. Chairman, so April 21st, 2010, what was the reason for that date?
That is April 20th is the last day of the first session of the 26th legislature.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
So, so run through the timing again, Tim, the timing issue, the concerns that that were there about establishing this when a legislature is on the way out rather than when the new legislature is coming in. Could you sort of run through those arguments?
There was a concern last hearing on this prior version that I believe it was from Senator Davis, that if we set this commission up now and they are potentially legislators that are not with us next year, that they might not have as much of a vested interest in the process or the research that's being conducted and or would jeopardize the perceived consensus building of what this commission is trying to do to develop a new model. I think that, does that answer your question?
I think okay. Those,
so this would, all of the players, at least the legislators involved in this version of the bill would have a direct interest in the policy discussions and be current legislators.
And the other change has to do, or major change is the makeup of the committee. Instead of, as you indicated, instead of 10 legislators and one governor appointed, there would be, in this version, there would be 3 Senate, 3 House, and 5 appointed by the governor.
That's correct, Mr. Chairman. That was an attempt to bring some balance to compromise in addressing the politics of this beast, which I think is recognized as impossible to remove completely, but this would is an effort to balance it.
Okay, thank you, Tim. Any questions? Comments? Okay, thank you very much, Tim. Mr. Jeans, do you have any comments on this at all? Any thoughts on the changes we've made here or the changes we have in front of us?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, my name is Eddie Jeans. I'm the Director of School of Finance for the Alaska Department of Education. And all these changes reflect, I believe, reflect the desire of the committee from the previous meeting. They all seem reasonable to me.
And you don't see anything unworkable in this that causes you pause for concern or anything like that?
Not at the moment, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Mr. Jeans. Senator Olson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. As you look at some of the wording changes that have happened, for example, the relative cost differential, is that a more workable model, or what's the practical side of that, of putting that in there? Because it sounds like there's going to be a level of or an element of ambiguity within that.
So we're talking about the top of page 2, for the purpose of examining school district relative cost differentials and creating a valid and durable model.
Through the chair, Senator Olson, I think that wording is very reasonable. That's exactly what the cost differentials are intended to measure right now, is the relative cost differences between Anchorage and the individual school districts.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. Any further questions, Mr. James? Thank you, Mr. James.
Thank you.
Further comments on part of the members? Yes. Please come forward and if you'd identify yourself for the record.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, Pat Davidson, representing the Division of Legislative Audit, and I appreciate the opportunity to address the committee. The two issues, one is the change in the commission, adding 5 appointments from the governor, and then on line 16, having the Division of Legislative Audit provide the staff and possibly enter into contracts. I do have a minor concern there, that combination of things. Critical to an audit shop is that they are independent from whom they audit. So my involvement with legislative committees is no problem. We don't audit the legislature. We do audit the executive branch. I'm not sure who the governor would appoint, but if the governor is appointing executive branch agency staff, then I'm not sure where the involvement with the audit division would be then with the commission, but it could raise some potential problems for us in terms of the maintaining that independence. If we are ever asked to go audit the agency's compliance with this area, are we going to meet the independent standards of our profession to do that? My only suggestion at this point is if you took it back to the Budget and Audit Committee, we're staff, we're a division that reports to the Budget and Audit Committee. Legislative Finance is staff reporting to the Budget and Audit Committee. And I'm not trying to change the will of the committee, but offering an option if when we get into this and we see what we're really being asked to do, if it does impair our independence with regard to audits, then maybe we could work with Ledge Finance or somebody else. It would give the commission a broader pool of people to pull from. Again, I understood the will of the committee wanted our involvement there. I just raised that as a potential issue for us.
So your concern, Pat, is that the almost half the committee, or not half, of course, but out of the wrong version here, we've got 5, 5, and 5, right? 3, 3, and 3. So we've got 9 members and 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 members. So we've got 5 from the governor, 3, and 3 from the legislature, so 6. So we've got 11 members, and your concern is if 5 of those members are appointed by the governor, that it may create a difficulty for you in auditing. Is that what you're saying?
Mr. Chairman, it could. It depends upon what the involvement is with the decision process that happens within the commission. Recognizing I can't say I am, it will or it will not at this point impair the independence, and looking at independence as a very important issue for the audit division. My only suggestion at that point is if there would be a way to expand that pool of who the commission could draw from. If it doesn't impair our independence, certainly we could be the first people that they go to. But if it does, then possibly the staff in the Division of Legislative Finance who doesn't work under the same professional standards that we do might be able to, you know, offer those services.
Thank you, Pat. If you would stay there for a minute, Eddie, can you comment on how you would anticipate from the administration's point of view, how you would anticipate the appointment of those 5 individuals to occur?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I haven't given this a whole lot of thought, but I would imagine that there would be some members appointed that would represent the School Administrators Association. Definitely the school business officials. It's possible I would be appointed, and I think that may be part of what Pat's concern is. I definitely think there would probably be some CPAs, independent CPAs appointed. So, and quite frankly, I think I'd like to recommend to the governor that somebody from Department of Labor that's good in statistical analysis be appointed. So those are just thoughts off the top of my head. I don't have a list of names that I would recommend to the governor at this point.
Well, thank you, Eddie. And we didn't want to get into designating who those 5 should be. We certainly could do that in the legislation, but we thought somebody from the representing administrators, somebody representing the school districts, and that might resolve that somewhat. But you're still your concern would be those members of the 5 who are members of the administration. That would be your primary concern, Pat.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, it is.
Okay. Anybody have any thoughts on this, or any? Senator.
Well, I appreciate, thanks, Mr. Chairman. I appreciate Pat's concern, and I think what she's doing is just running up a yellow flag. And it seems like this isn't, you know, an audit looks backwards and does some analysis of what's happened. And what we're really trying to do here is just have the expertise of her department and the ability to reach out to the network to get help to do something prospectively and not retrospectively. It's sort of a different look. And she wouldn't be looking at Eddie's work or the department's work or Department of Labor's work and saying whether it's correct or incorrect. She would only be calling on Eddie's expertise or the Department of Labor, whoever's expertise, to move ahead. So it kind of puts her in a little bit different situation. And so we're really not asking for an audit. We're really asking for expertise. But if Pat came to this commission a year from now and said, I really am uncomfortable with something having to do with the Department of Education, I'm sure there's a workaround for this because it certainly isn't an audit issue.
Response to
through the chair, Senator Wolfian, you're absolutely right. I am raising that yellow flag of caution, and to tell you the truth, it isn't the involvement with the commission that I am particularly concerned about. What I'm concerned about is the ramification afterwards, not auditing your own work, not auditing activities that you have been part and parcel with, and so it's you're absolutely correct in working with the commission. It doesn't. There's no independence issue because we're not auditing. But the question is moving forward when I come around in the next year and we're doing the financial audit or if I get a request from the Budget and Audit Committee. But it is definitely without understanding totally who is going to be appointed by the governor, whether they are or they're not members of the executive branch. I am just raising that issue. That flag of caution.
Okay, well, thank you, Pat. I appreciate that. I mean, you admittedly have a tough job, and you don't want to have your independence compromised. Okay. Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Mr. Chairman, yeah. The one other comment, just to make sure that the committee understands the procurement process. Talk about the audit division providing the necessary staff and entering into contracts for professional services. Any professional services contract in excess of $25,000 must be approved by the Legislative Budget and Audit Committee. We do not have independent procurement authority under legislative procurement. So just so committee members understand, we would still have to go to the Budget and Audit Committee to seek their approval to enter into a contract in excess of $25,000.
Right. Okay, thank you. But you're still more comfortable with having the Division of Legislative Audit instead of the Budget and Audit Committee in that. Because that's what we had before was Budget and Audit Committee. Isn't that true? Mm-hmm. Or are you suggesting that maybe the committee should be back in that, in the bill?
Mr. Chairman, my consideration of taking the audit division specifically out and maybe readdressing it to the Budget and Audit Committee would be if the commission and the people assigned to it, and we know exactly more of what we're involved with the commission, roles start becoming defined, and we start becoming uncomfortable about how it may impair future independence. If we were unable to meet the role of the commission, then if you had the Budget and Audit Committee there, they could turn to the staff of the Legislative Finance Division and ask for their assistance at that point. I know that moves away from what the intent of the committee was, but it would be an option to sort of negotiate around that. If there is a future independence issue for us, that would be a way to negotiate around that one.
Okay, thank you very much, Pat. Any further comments? Okay, thank you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Comments from the committee? Thoughts are, yes.
Mr. Chairman, just a word of thanks for the changes. I know Tim worked hard on this, and I appreciate you being receptive to some changes, and I think this is a better bill, and I thank you for that.
Thank you, Senator Welker, and thank you, Tim. He's been working hard on this, and I do appreciate those comments. I think a lot of the concerns we had and expressed have all been addressed, I believe.
And it's the pleasure of the committee.
I'll go ahead and make a motion to go ahead and move CS for Senate Concurrent Resolution Number 16 with accompanying fiscal note and individual recommendations from committee to the next committee referral.
Thank you, sir. Now, one issue, we don't have a fiscal note for version K. We do have the one for version M. Tim, could you explain the difference there?
Thank you. Again, this is Tim Lampkin, Staff Center Stevens. We were working so hard on getting a clean CS that we didn't put as much time and effort into the fiscal note. The current fiscal note we have is, or two, one is based on version A, and number two is based on version M. In talking with Ledge Affairs, the dollar amount of version M, and you should have fiscal note number two, if you have
right.
That, okay. The dollar amount, because arguably, could be kept the same. It's just the analysis section would need to be modified to reflect the new membership. So it's a fairly easy fix if we'd like to take that up now.
Okay.
That easy. We just need to rephrase the analysis to reflect the membership of 3, 3, and 5.
All right. Is that any objection to our doing that? Okay. Thank you. Thank you, Tim.
We could call it version K, I guess, for this one.
So your motion was to adopt version K. Is that right?
The initial motion was to adopt version K, and then I'm moving this CS out to the next committee referral.
Okay. Thank you. Is there any objection to that? Not very well. We'll move this on to the next committee. It'll go into finance. And with that, thank you all very much. Committee's adjourned.